In just a few moments, we'll stand to sing that song that was just announced to give you an opportunity to make your life right with God. We're grateful for the love of God that was manifested in the giving of His only begotten Son. And His Son extended the greatest invitation when He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." And we give you the opportunity to come to the Lord on His terms by hearing His Word, believing with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in the Son of God, and being buried with Christ in baptism to rise to walk in newness of life. We have visitors with us today. We're glad to have you. We want you to be comfortable as you make your visit, realizing that you are indeed among friends. As Jesus said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And that's our interest here, to do what the Lord commands. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And so it is my intent to only speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Encourage you to examine the things that are said and taught in light of what the Bible says. And if there's something that I have said today that is not in keeping with the word of truth, please bring that to my attention that I might make proper correction of it. However, if you find that you need to make some change in your life, we hope and pray that you'll have the courage and the conviction to make whatever changes may need to be made. Thankful for the good reading from Psalm 46. What a powerful statement that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. If you saw the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea, or the earth being removed, most people would be losing their minds, going crazy, we would say. But notice he said, we will not fear because God is our refuge and strength. And it may be that sitting here today, you feel like your world is being turned upside down, that it is as if the earth is removed and the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea. We want you to realize that there is a God who cares. There is a God who is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And it's to the Word of God that we now turn our attention. I encourage you to get your Bible and come with me back to the book of Genesis in chapter 3, where we'll allow Moses, the author of the book of Genesis, to introduce the title and theme of our study. We're going to begin the reading with verse 1, when the Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" If you have your own Bible with you, you might underscore the question that God asked Adam in verse 9. When the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" That question was not being asked for God's benefit. Certainly, all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, that He pondereth all our goings. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. God knew exactly where Adam and Eve were. You cannot hide from the presence of the Lord. But that question was asked for the benefit of Adam, for him to awaken to his standing and his position before the Lord. As God asked that question in the long ago to the first man, "Where art thou?" We ask that question today as there are a number of different places we can be. First of all, as you entertain this question, where art thou? Art thou in sin? There's a possibility that there are those in this audience today are in sin. For in the book of John, chapter 8, and in verse 24, Jesus said, "If ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." The Scriptures emphasize that sin separates us from God Almighty. This happened to the people in Isaiah, chapter 59, when it is written, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." And so if the question was asked in Isaiah 59, "Where art thou?" they would have to have answered that they were in sin on that particular occasion. And as a result of that, they were separated from God. He would not hear them. The Scriptures also point out that all have sinned. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." And then in verse 10 he said, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." Since God says all have sinned, for me to think I've not sinned is to make Him a liar and to deceive myself. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18 and verse 20, the prophet Ezekiel said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." That shows that sin is not inherited, as many have been made to believe. You do not inherit the guilt of your parents' sin, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That shows that sin results in death. In the book of James, the servant of our Lord pointed that out. In James 1 and verse 15, he talked about the process of sin, how that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, that sin is produced as a result of lust conceived, and when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Bringeth forth death, James 1, and in verse 15. Sin has its payday. You look forward to payday at the end of the week. You receive your wages for the work that you've done. The Bible uses that same word in reference to sin and the consequences. In Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, and that's not a payday to look forward to. And so we're asking this question today, where art thou? Art thou in sin? But secondly, art thou in Christ? You don't have to be in sin today. You can be in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, writing to the church at Ephesus, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." I want to know where all of those blessings are. I want to have access to those blessings, don't you? Notice the last two words of the passage. He said, "In Christ." If all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ, where art thou? Art thou in Christ? Either one is in Christ or he is out of Christ. And out of Christ, he is separated from all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Writing the churches of Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27, Paul said, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." This shows how an individual enters Christ. How do I get into Christ? Baptized into Christ. And notice he says, "Children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And so if I'm in Christ Jesus, I'm a child of God. But if I'm not in Christ, I'm not a child of God. And so the question is, where art thou today? Art thou in Christ? Art thou a child of God? Art thou the recipient of all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? Or art thou without Christ? But taking our study a step further, art thou in the church? In Matthew 16, we read in verse 18 where Jesus, the Son of God, pledged and promised, "I will build my church." Notice he said that in the singular. He didn't promise to build a plurality of churches. He didn't say, I will build my churches, but I will build my church. Art thou in the church that Christ built? Acts 2 and verse 47 says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Art thou among the number of the saved? The Scriptures emphasize there is one body. Ephesians 4 and verse 4, the first four words of that text state, there is one body. What is the one body? In Colossians 1:18, Paul said, and He, that is Christ, is the head of the body, listen, the church. If Jesus promised to build one church, His church, and the Bible says there is one body, and the body is the church, then how many churches are there? There's just one church, one body. And the means by which we enter the one body, the church built by Christ, is by being baptized into it. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into what? One body. Art thou in the church? Art thou in one body? Have you been baptized into the one body? But furthermore, where art thou in the assembly? Come Bible study and worship time. Where art thou? We have a great privilege to assemble together. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 teaches, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. There may be some who are in the manner, they have developed the habit of willfully absenting themselves from the assembling of ourselves together. Now, the word assembling suggests that we have continuous activity to assemble when the saints come together. And when it is time for the saints to assemble together, where art thou? At 10 o'clock on Sunday morning for Bible study, where art thou? At 11 o'clock worship hour, where art thou? This afternoon at 2 o'clock, there'll be time for the men and women to come together, men's Bible class and a ladies' Bible class. Where art thou? At 3 o'clock during the worship hour, where art thou? Come Wednesday night, midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock. If the Lord God was to call out unto you as He did unto Adam in the garden, where art thou? What would you say? Where will you be? Where art thou? These are great opportunities for us to grow. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Do we desire the milk of the Word as newborn babes? They crave that. They cry out for that. And that ought to be our cry and our call as well. Give me the Bible. Bring the book, like the people spoke to Ezra in the day of Nehemiah chapter 8. And he brought the book and he read it before the people from morning till midday. And had you been a Jew at that time and God said, where art thou? Where would you have been? Would you have been gathered together before the water gate at the feet of Ezra to hear the law of God read as he gave the sense and expounded upon that? Where art thou? 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God expects me as a child of His to grow. And so where art thou in the assembly? You'll have to answer that question. And I'll have to answer that as well. But then furthermore, where art thou when it comes to being nigh or far off? There's a possibility that you could be nigh to God, but there's also the possibility that you could be here today and be afar off from God. And I'm just asking the question the Lord asked Adam, where art thou? In Ephesians 2 and verse 13, Paul said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We asked the question a little bit ago, art thou in Christ? If you're in Christ, then you're not afar off. But if you're outside of Christ, then you are far off. Where art thou? It's designed to help us evaluate where we are and see our position before the Lord. Are you in a reconciled state? Ephesians 2:16 says, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That goes along with what he said in verse 13. To be made nigh is to be reconciled. To be in Christ is to be in the one body, the church. And that takes place by the blood of Christ or by the cross of Christ. Where art thou? Nigh or far off? Nigh is to be close, to be near. Far off is to be a great distance away. We're familiar with that. You're waiting on a plane. Maybe it's just left the gate at another airport. And you ask, where is the plane? You're sitting at the gate waiting for it to come. You notice it's not there. You want to board the plane. It's delayed. Where's the plane? Well, it's a great way off. It's just now leaving the gate from the other airport. You go back later and you say, where's the plane? They say, it's nigh. It's making its descent into the airport. It's nigh. It's close. And so with reference to your relationship to God today, where art thou? Art thou nigh or afar off? Are you an individual who has made peace with God, or are you an enemy of His? We're either in a peaceful relationship with God or we're at enmity with Him. Colossians 1, 20 and 21 says, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. And then He wrote, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body. And so if you're in the body, if you're in the church, you're reconciled, you're nigh, you're near, but if you're not, then you're far off. And the question we need to answer is, where art thou? But also, art thou a stranger and foreigner? Or a fellow citizen? Where art thou? Again, in the second chapter of Paul's Ephesian letter, he wrote in verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You ever been a foreigner or a stranger? You don't have to be spiritually. You can be a fellow citizen. And again, he's writing to those who are in Christ, who are in the church, who are nigh, no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Which one are you? Are you a stranger and a foreigner? Or are you a fellow citizen? Where art thou? But furthermore, the Bible speaks of two ways. There's the broad way and then the narrow way. In your journey here, where art thou? Art thou on the broad way or art thou on the narrow way? Matthew 7, 13 and 14, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Now, much of the religious world paints this kind of picture that everybody's going to be saved and nobody's going to be lost. But this leaves quite a different impression, doesn't it? Jesus taught that the way that leadeth to destruction is broad and many there be which go in thereat. But notice the opposite in verse 14, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so those who find life are in the minority, not the majority. And so if I'm looking to the majority to decide what I'm going to believe and do in religion, then I'm looking at the wrong place. And if I'm on the path following the majority, and I'm on the broad way, I'm on the wrong way. And so I'm asking the question that the Lord asked Adam, where art thou? Are you on the broad way that leads to destruction, or art thou on the narrow way that leads to life? Which is it? Art thou saved or lost? The Bible talks about two groups of people. There are those who are lost and those who are saved. We're not talking about physically, we're talking about spiritually. No greater tragedy than for an individual to be lost spiritually, to be lost eternally. We need to be among those who are saved. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18 says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Notice he contrasts two groups of people. He talks about them that perish on one hand, and on the other, the saved. Where art thou? Are you among them that perish? What's your attitude toward preaching? You know, there are those who consider the preaching of the cross foolishness. There are those who would mock and ridicule what's being done today, preaching, and an individual who would devote himself to the work of an evangelist preaching the gospel, and folks to come and sit and listen to gospel preaching. But he said in verse 21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Where art thou? Among them that perish? Or among them that are saved? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, notice Paul mentions the lost when he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And so the lost are them that perish, as opposed to those who are saved. Where art thou? Jesus said in Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Where art thou when it comes to being saved or lost? Another question, where art thou when it comes to being faithful or unfaithful? We're either one or the other. We can't be unfaithful and then claim to be faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 and 2, Paul said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. A steward's one to whom something is entrusted. Like a steward of a house who manages your affairs. You wouldn't just turn over your household affairs or responsibilities to just anybody and everybody. You'd expect them to be faithful, to be dependable, to be trustworthy, wouldn't you? How about when it comes to our spiritual service in the kingdom of the Lord? Are we trustworthy? Are we dependable? Are we faithful? In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, we realize that all were given talents and opportunities to use those. And when the day of accountability came, Matthew 25, 21, where the five-talent man had gained beside them five talents more, his Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. To hear the Lord say, well done, I must be faithful. Too many are not faithful. Where art thou? Jesus said in Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. One other question I want to ask today. Where art thou? Ready? Or not? It's possible that there are those here today who are ready, and there's a possibility that there could be some who are not ready for the Lord's coming. The Bible teaches that Christ will come. Christ promised to do that. He said in John 14, I will come again. The apostles throughout the New Testament spoke of Christ's coming. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28, 2 Peter 3, 10, other places as well. In Matthew 25, 1 through 13, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. What was the difference? In one word, ready. 5 were ready and 5 were not ready. You see, they that were foolish took their lamps but took no oil. And that represented preparation. They didn't make the proper preparation. In verse 6 at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. That cry came suddenly and unexpectedly. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The wise answered, not so. You can't beg or borrow or give away preparation. He said, go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. When the Lord comes, it's going to be too late to make preparation. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Some of the saddest words in this book, when the Lord will say to those, I know you not, those who are not ready. Watch therefore, for ye know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The day of Christ's coming has not been revealed. Though there have been a lot of speculators and time setters down through the years, the fact that those dates have been set and they've come and gone is a reminder that of that day and that hour knoweth no man. And since I don't know the day or the hour, I need to always be ready. As Matthew 24 and verse 44 says, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Where art thou? Ready? Or not? Good question, isn't it? The question that God asked Adam so long ago. Following the entrance of sin into the world, where art thou? How would you answer that question today in these areas? Where art thou? If you're not a child of God, you're not in Christ, not a Christian, not a member of the church, you've not been baptized into Christ, into one body, we urge you to hear the gospel, to believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change in our living. A decision that we're going to quit doing those things that are contrary to the will of God and do what the Bible teaches us to do in our lives. Would you make that pledge of allegiance to the Lord? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That bedrock truth upon which Jesus said, I will build my church. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. And put him on in baptism. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22, 16. As those in Corinth, it is said, many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Acts 18, 8. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel, you've become a Christian, but you've fallen away, you've become distracted, you've lost focus somehow, some way. And you think about this question, where art thou? And you examine yourself and what the Bible teaches, and you realize you're not where you need to be. You need to make some changes. You need to say, Father, I have sinned. Just like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And come home to be restored to your proper place. The Bible teaches that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Where art thou? As we stand and sing the song, we cordially invite you to come.